Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, four lines down. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bar Avua, the Shita Mekubetzah takes out the Amar Rav from here. Tabat Shel Avodat Kochavim Shnitarva B'Meya Tabaot. If you have a tabat, a ring of Avodat Kochavim, Rashi over here says that there was a ring, Shnit Kashtaba Avodat Kochavim. They used it to decorate, to enhance the Avodah Zarah. It becomes Shimusheha. Becomes a shemesh of Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's a surah. Bali Tosafot earlier wanted to indicate that it has to be a dover choshu in order for that to be the case. It can't simply just be a ring of Avodah Zarah, but it has to be a ring that is of significance. Shnitar babe mea tabaot. That got mixed into another 100 tabaot. Benafla achat mehem the yamagadol. And then one of them disappears into the Mediterranean. Hu tru kulan, remaining 100 are fine. So you have 100 that are chulin, that are no problem whatsoever. You have one that's a avodah zarah, falls into the 100. The tarovet is asur because avodah zarah is oser bekoshul, even with the smallest amount. Then one of those 101 falls into the Yam HaGadol, into the Mediterranean. We assume the remaining 100 are mutarim. Tamrinan, ach denafal, hainu di isura. We assume the one that fell was the one of isur. And therefore, what's left now is the heter. And the Bali Tosafot of here give a number of qualifications of this. They explain in the Tosafot, Nafla Chamem Yam HaGadol, Mishum Dimidoraita Beruba Botil. Starting with the premise that Midoraita Minatorah, a rove would have been sufficient here. So even the fact that Avodah Zarah is not Batel, and his Oser Bekoshu is only a rabbinic, and so Midoraita, it would have been Batel Beru. So it's already Batel Midoraita. Kedi Parashnu. Mishum Hachi, Hey Kilukan. That's the whole reason they're Mekil over here. Vidavka Nofla Memela. It's only if it fell by accident. It's not if he threw one of the rings into the Yam HaGadol. It has to be that it happened by itself, passively. Aval Hipila, if he throws it in, Afilu Shogeg. Even if it was unintentional, Kansina Natu Mesit. We make a knas that it will not work, even though he did it unintentionally, because we're afraid of him doing it intentionally. Vidavka the Yam HaGadol. And now the third qualification is it's only into the Mediterranean, she'ena be'en, because it's gone. It's really lost. It's no longer around. But if it simply falls away from the pile or into the group, into another area, that's not enough. It has to be something that's gone completely in order for it to work over here. So the Bali Tosafot qualify this heter over here. But the basic idea is that we assume the one that fell into Yam HaGadol is the one that was asur. And therefore now we're going to treat the remaining items as if they are heter. Again, Tosafot explains to us for a number of reasons. One is that the Isur Koshu is only the Rabbanan. Deoraita, it's Batel Berov. Number two is that it only happens Memela, not when you do it actively. It's when it happened by itself. And number three is only the Yam HaGadol, where it's completely gone. Eitave Rabba, the Rav Nachman. So Rabba challenges his Rebbe Rav Nachman, who brought this Memra in the name of Rabba Barbua. Afilu al-Khabiribo. Our Mishnah says that if you have a Shoreniskal, or you have a Khatata Meita that got mixed up with 10,000 other Kodoshim, Yamutu Kulan, all of them are put to death, they all die, because of the one that is Isur in there. Amai, why should that be? Neima, Achdemit, Di Isura Mit. Let us assume the one that dies is the Isura that died. Now what Rabba is advocating over here is, if you have a situation in which you have 10,001 animals, one is Isur, the other 10,000 are Shel Heter. Shouldn't be any different than the case of 100 rings and the one of Avodah Zarah. And you told me, if the one of Avodah Zarah disappears, disposed of, again, happens Memela, we say the remainder are Heter. Why don't we say the same thing by the animals? The first animal to die will be classified as the Isur. And we'll assume that one of them's gone now, so that's the Isur that's went. The remaining 10,000 should be of heter, and we should allow it. Why does the Mishnah not allow for that? Why does the Mishnah say, Yimutu Kulan? All of them have to die. You could have the same thing over here. Now, this is somewhat difficult, because Rav already said on the previous Amud, and this is what we dealt with yesterday, that there's a big difference between the case in our Mishnah and the case in Avodah Zarah, and that is that, Balei Chaim Nidachin. By Korbanot, the problem is that he became Tichui. Once the Chachamim said, you can't put it on the Mizbeach, even afterwards, if it becomes heter again, it was already nitcheh because of the fact that it was disqualified from the Mizbeah. So here, why would he question Rav Nachman from the Mishnah? But the Mishnah, according to Rav himself, is not really parallel with other cases. Because Avodah Zarah does not have dichui in it, whereas korbanot have dikui in them. And so now once it's nitche, it doesn't matter that the iser is gone, it doesn't help you out, because the korban is already nitche. So the answer to that would be twofold. One is, even if you say that it's nitche, that doesn't mean yamut. Big difference between what you do with it if it is now problematic and you have to let it die, because that's the din of Ashur Niskal and Achatat Meita, versus a case where you say, okay, it's nitche mi'al mizbeach, but that doesn't make it asur be'ana'ah, then you could wait, it gets a moment, you could redeem it, you could utilize it, whatever things you could do with those items, but it would not be yamutu. So the difference between yamutu and what could have been marked in the Mishnah is enough of a reason for Rava to ask the question, even if you hold balei chayim nidachin. Or you could say that Rava would say here that it's not balei chayim nidachin, because if the killing of one of the animals would be matir the other animals, then it's really not nidche. Because nidche happens when it's out of your control. And once it's out of your control, there is something that happens that doesn't allow the animal now to be brought on his back. But over here, if it's within your control, just to kill one of the animals, and then the remainder would be mutarin, in that circumstance, that situation, we wouldn't call it balei chayim nidachin. That may not work so well according to what balei Tosafot said. We only allow when it happens b'mela, not when it happens intentionally. But that's another way to deal with the fact that this seems to be a stira to what Rava said in the previous amud. Now, amalei rav would only be if the rav was the originator of the statement, but it'd be unlikely because Rava wouldn't be speaking to rav. Either it's Amalei Rabba or Amalei Rava, depending on what you think the Kirsa is. The Amar Kir Rabbi Eliezer. That is following the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So now what they're saying is Rav's statement, or that of Rav Nachman Amar Ravua, that statement was under the rubric or the position of Rabbi Eliezer, which we ended off with on yesterday's daf, the top of the Amud here, but it's not the Mishnah later on, the Masechta, Rabbi Eliezer Meir. If one of the heads already ended up on the Mizbeach, the remainder of heads can be placed on the Mizbeach. Here you had a series of Roshim, heads that were Korbanot, that were Sheirim. And then you have one Korban that was either a Balmum or some other Psul that was associated with it. It can't go on the Mizbeach. That got mixed up with these heads. So you can't put them on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, if one of them, for whatever reason, ended up on the Mizbeach, we assume that that was the Isur, and then you're allowed to bring the remaining heads onto the Mizbeach. So therefore, you karbu kol rishim kulan. The remainders could go on the Mizbeach. So Rav's statement over here, Rav Nachman Amar Ravua, Amar Rav's statement over here, is under the rubric of Rabbi Eliezer. Now that is somewhat problematic, because that makes it that the din of Rav is now restating in Rabbi Eliezer's position, and Rabbi Eliezer's shmutihu, which means you don't paskin like him. So now you're setting up Rav in a situation where he's following a position that's not going to be accepted to halacha. Although, you could differentiate between Avodah Zarah and Korbanot, and in that way you could argue that Rabbi Eliezer's opinion over here, even if it is rejected, doesn't automatically reject Rav's position. Or, you have to say that the Rabbanan that argue on Rabbi Eliezer are arguing Dichoy, but they agree fundamentally with the Tarovet issue. Or, like the Balei Tosafot said at the top of the Amud, they may even agree that there's no dichoy of here, but there's another problem that brings the Isur about. But that shows you that fundamentally they do agree with Rabbi Eliezer's position. There's just something else, some external factor that's blocking it, but not the fact that the Tarobit in essence should be Mutar. Or they would agree with him that Bidiabad, if it ends up in his Beach, Loteirate. So at least there is a greater group of individuals who subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's position, maybe not the Chatzchila, but at least Avad, and then maybe that's supportive of Rav. Which the Gemara says, Ini, is that really true? Hamar Rabbi Lozar, the Amora Rabbi Lozar says, Lo hitir Rabbi Eliezer, their Tana Rabbi Eliezer, was not matir l'shnayim, shnayim, unless you're makriv two at a time. So Rashi explains over here, the requirement, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to allow you to put these heads on the Mizbeach requires two things. Number one is, one of them has already ended up on the Mizbeach. That one that ended up on the Mizbeach, we assume, is the Isur. But beyond that, we will then require you, for the remaining heads, put on two at a time. Rashi says it's based on a Migo. Migo, that one of the two for sure is Heter, we assume the other one is Heter. It's an interesting Migo, not sure why there's such a logic. The truth is that, of course, if you put two on, one of them is of heter, because there's only one Isur that's mixed up in this group. So you have 11 heads. 10 of them are Heter. One is of Isur. One went on the Mizbeach already. So we assume that that was the Isur. That should mean that for the remaining 10, you can put on one at a time because we assume the Isur is already done. Despite that fact, Rabbi Lazar says that Rabbi Lazar requires you to put two on at a time. Even though the first one was on, and we assume that was the Isur, we also require that every time you put on the Mizbeach, you put two at a time. So for sure, you're at least getting one of Heter on when you're putting the two heads on, because there's only one Isur here. So even if the Isur wasn't the one that ended up on the Mizbeach in the first place, even if it's still in the remaining 10, when you put two on each time, at least one of the two is Heter. And Migo, that one of them is Heter, we assume the other one is Heter. But those two Snifim, Leheter, we allow you to do it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't put one head at a time. But then that would not be supportive of Rav's contention, because Rav said, once it falls into Yam HaGadol, the remaining 100 rings are totally fine. He didn't require that you use them two at a time here. Amalei, Ana, Tarte, Kamina. So Nachman or Rabba, whoever said this over, and Rabba was questioning, said back to him, that's right. When Rav said it, he didn't mean to say it one at a time. He meant to say it, or what we were quoting was him, that the same way the Rabbi Eliezer, that means two at a time. So with regards to the rings, you can't get benefit from one. You have to take two in each series, because one of them could be the Avodah Zarah, and now it's identical or similar to that case of Rabbi Eliezer, at least the way Rabbi Eliezer explains it, and that'll be the source for this position of Rav, that one Tabat falls away, the remaining are Mutar, with the qualifications of the Baal Tosafot we saw before, as well as the fact now that the Gemara qualifies it and says you have to do two at once. Now here it's a little different. By the Akrava, you can say put two of them on the Mizbeach at once. But here with the rings, if they do two at once, what exactly are you doing with the rings if you have to do two at once? Obviously you're not going to wear two at once. That doesn't change the fact that if one is Yisur, one is Yisur. Must be that it has to do with selling them. That you sell two at a time, and that way at least you're selling one that is Heter, and we assume the other one is Heter. So Amarav, Tabat shel Avodah Kochavim, shenitarva b'mea tabot. If you have a Tabat Avodah Zarah, same case again. They got mixed up with 100 of Heter, same exact case. But now, Pershu arba'im namakom echad, v'shishim namakom acher. You have 40 of them went in one direction, 60 in another direction. I mean, the pile or the 100 got divided up, 40 and 60. Persha achat mi arba'im, ena useret. If one now falls away from the 40, then it is not oser. Achat mi shishim oseret. If one of the 60 falls away, then it is oser. So now you're right. There really should be 101 rings over here. But let's just assume that it's 61 and 40 or 60, 40, whatever the number is that it splits. There's a rov in one pile, the miut and the other pile. So now, what we don't say is that the 40 is mutar and the 60 is not mutar. You could have assumed that wherever the rove is, that's where the Isur is. So given that, the 60 should have been problematic, 40 should have been mutarim. We don't say that, and we say that only if something moved away or segregated away from the 40 do we say that there is heter over here. It's not the 40 itself that are mutarim, it's only if one of them falls away from the 40 do we say then that's heter. And that's what the Gemara wants to understand here. Maishna achat mi'arba'im delo. Why is it that the one that falls away from the 40 we say is not problematic? Damrina nisura birubaite. We assume that the Isur remains with the rove. Achat mi'shishim nami. When one falls away from 60, why don't we say Amrina nisura birubaita? That the Isur remains with the rove. Even though the 40 themselves are surim, but when one falls away from the 40, we assume that that is heter, because we assume whatever the Isur is still remains with the 40. Why can't you say the same thing about the one from the 60? The 60 broke away. Even if the Isur is in the group of the 60, when one falls away, we assume the Isur is with the rove. Ella, im pirshu arba'im kulam lemakom echad, ein osrot. Now the Gemara emends the statement of Rav to say the following. It's not that the 40 split away and then one fell away from the 40, because in that case, it should be no different when the 60 split away and one falls away from the 60. So rather, it's a case where the 40 fell away from the group of 100, and they together fell into another mixture. Ein osrot. They are not usair the mixture. Shishim lemakom echad. If the 60 fall into one place, osrot. then it is Oser. So here we have a very different reading of it, which is that you have 40 and 60. The entire 40 fall into another group of items. We don't assume that the 40 is problematic, because we assume that the Iser stayed with the rope. That means that it's with the 60. The 40, if they fall into something else, they would not make that other thing Asur. On the other hand, the 60, if it falls into another grouping, they would make it Asur, because we assume that the Iser remained with the rope. But that also means that the 40 themselves are not Mutarim right away. Only if they fall into another grouping do we say there that it works. And that's what Rashi explains over here. Nehi dahanach atzmam im lo nitarbu b'acherot asurot deolam. If these 40 that fall away, if they never fall into another group of items, they will remain asur permanently. Meaning that there is no heter over here. Because even Rabbi Eliezer, who says that we're told that the isur is falling away, that's when davar she'aved, v'gon sh'nafla achat me'am le'am agadol. That's only true, as Tosafot said, when you lose the item completely, it's gone in its entirety. Or like the Rosh HaKeves that ended up on the Mizbeach, it's gone now. So therefore, we assume that that was the Isur. Over here, where all of the 60 and all the 40 are still intact, we don't assume, even if we want to assume that the robe has the Isur by the 60, we don't assume the Isur is gone. And that means that the 40 retain a sense of Safek in them. The Ein Bitul Berov L'Avodat Kochavim. There's no such thing as Batul Berov B'Kochavet Kochavim. And the Isur then is still considered to be extant in the 40 and the 60. V'Havu Kulu Safek Avodat Kochavim. It's all a Safek of Avodah Zarah. Aval Ki Nitarvu B'Acherot. When those 40 fall into another 100 or another 1,000, then Havalu Sveik Sveika. Double Safek Shalabadat Kochavim. Because now, if you take the 40 and the 60, you could say, don't know if it's in the 60, don't know if it's in the 40. We would think that it's more likely to be in the 60 than it is in the 40, which have ramifications for the 60. But as far as the 40 is concerned, you still have a Safek. Is the Easter here, is the Easter not here? Then that 40 fall into another grouping, it becomes a Sveik Sveika. The Safek is whether the Easter ever entered that grouping of 40. And even if it entered into the group of 40, now you have another level of Safek, which is it fell into another grouping. So the Sveik Sveika is there's a Safek now between the 40 and the 60, which is when the 40 went away from the 60, maybe the Easter remained with the robe. And the 40 does not have the Easter associated with it. Even if the Easter went with the 40, it is now mixed amongst other items. And when you pull one item out from that new mixture, it could be from the items that weren't from the 40. So you have a safek whether the Easter was ever with the 40. And even after that, when the 40 now mixes in with other items, the item that you took out of there could be from the new items that were added to the Tarovet, not from the 40 that might have had the Easter associated with it. Again, it's not exactly a safek sveika, because it's all the same safek, which is whether the Easter is there or not there. The first safek was, did the Easter go with the 40 or did it not go with the 40? The second safek is still the same safek. Is the Isser in the 40 or is it not in the 40? Because when the whole 40 fall into the next grouping, you have the same original Safek is now in the new Safek that is there. Rather, what you've done is added on additional levels of Bitul. And those additional levels of Bitul we're viewing as being an additional level of Safek that is entered over here. Safek in the sense that Midoraita, the first time it was Batel already, because it was Batel Berov. The Chachamim said it's still Oser B'Kolshu. Now he'd split 40 and 60, and we say that it should have gone with the 60, not with the 40. And then again, when the 40 falls into another rov, you have another bitul midoraita. So now you're taking a safek of Avodah Zarah and saying twice it fell into a rov, which should have been mevatel it. And so that's already classified like a safek sveika, even though there's no new safek in the situation. Just the fact is that there's a new mevatel in the situation. And maybe because of that, we would call it a sveik sveika. On the other hand, if the 60 fall away to another grouping and fall into another tarovet, there we say that it's problematic, because we assume that the Isur went with the rove. So not only before the 60 fall into something else are they asurim, but even though 60 fall into something, another tarovet, another 100, another 1,000, they'll all be asurim, because we assume that the Isur went along with the 60. Ki amrita kamei deshmuel. When I said over this memra before Shmuel, Amalei, Anach, Lavodat Kochavim, Shesveka, Vesafek, Sveka, Asura. leave Avodah Zarah alone, because by Avodah Zarah, not only is a Safek Asur, but also a Sfek Sfeka. The second Safek also remains Asura, Ad Sof HaOlam. Doesn't matter how many Sfekot you have by Avodah Zarah, it's Osir B'Koshu, and it's Osir Ad Olam. Given that, he's basically disagreeing with the statement of Rav, and saying that there is no difference between the 40 and the 60, and it doesn't matter that the robe is in one direction and the miyut's in the other direction, because of the fact that in Avodah Zarah, whether it's one safek or it's a double safek, we still classify it as being asur, because no matter how many safekot enter the picture by Avodah Zarah, it remains asur. Despite the fact that you have multiple reasons to be mekel, we don't take up that option, because by Avodah Zarah, we assume even the smallest amount, or even the slightest chashash li'isur, is enough that it remains asur. Meitavei. Is that really true? Safek avodat kochavim asura, v'safek sfeika muteret. When it comes to a safek in avodah zarah, it's problematic. Sfek sfeika muteret. Then it is fine. Ketzad, give us an example of that. Kos shel avodat kochavim shnafal utzar malei kosot. If you have a cup, a goblet of avodah zarah that falls into a storehouse or a warehouse full of kosot, kula and asurim, all of them are asurim, because here you have one safek. The kos fell into that huge warehouse or that huge pile of kosot. So now all of them are asurot. Perish echad mehem l'ribo. If one of them then fell away and went to a 10,000 and fell into another 10,000, now you have a girsa here, miribo, the ribo. If you look in the Shita Mekubetzet, he says, tema, came into Tani Peresha Chamin Ribo, Miyad have a Sfek Sfeka, Belomale Ha Miribu the Ribo. Why do you need another level to create the Sfek over here? Meaning that once it had the case where one fell into a multitude, that's already one Sfek. When one of them falls away then and gets mixed up with another 10,000, that already is a Sfek Sfeka. You have the first Sfek, which is any of the 100 that are there, is that the one of Avodah Zarah, is that not the one of Zarah? Then when one falls away, we're not sure if that's Easter, it is the Easter, but then it dropped into another 10,000, that's already a double safek. The first safek being, did it fall into the group? The second one is the one that separated away. Was that the one of Avodah Zarah or not? And even if it was the one of Avodah Zarah, it fell into another 10,000. So again, the similar type of safek over here, where there's another bitul that takes place. Why do you need those 10,000 to go into another 10,000 afterwards? Why does that add anything over here? And the Baal Tosfot would say over here, Lo itztrich mi ribo the ribo, elo meimer manda asar, asar bekulu. The reason it says mi ribo the ribo, to tell you the one who says it's asur, will say it's even asur, it fell into another 10,000. Inami, the other possibility is the ribi rishon, even hani mikulu, bebadachat asur. Shita Mekubetz, it said, Vein lomar, dinaki dashminon, don't say that they wrote over here, to tell you that the one who says that in the first 10,000 it's asur, would say that even if it was in another 10,000, it would still be asur. And to tell you the power of the one who is being osir over here. Sharei, v'ach v'raita lo uskar, divrei osir klal. Because in that braita, person who is osir is not mentioned at all. So there's no reason to mention me rebo the rebo to tell you, oh, the one who says it's asur would say it's asur all the way through. There's no isur in that braita. The only person who's mentioned in that braita is matir. So zeish lomar, to be shum rebo kama asur, lehanot mikulan bevadachat. Similar to the Balei HaTosafot. The difference will be that in the first 10,000, you cannot get a benefit from all of them at once. Meaning that when you have the first grouping where it fell into the warehouse, fell into the storage area, there's one group that is problematic because it's a single safek. But then one separates away from the group. We assume the one that separated from the group is Heter because we assume that the Easter remains with the robe. So for both of those reasons, we assume what fell away is Heter. It falls into another 10,000. Then it is mutar, because we said again, that's a sfek sfeka. Whatever you're defining here as sfek sfeka, that's a sfek sfeka. What the Shita Mekubetzet points out, in that first 10,000, we will not let you use all of them at once. We require another level of sfek in order for you to use all 10,000 at once. Which means after the first 10,000, you can use them one at a time, but you can't use them all at once. If it then falls into one of those, pulls away and falls into another 10,000, then already you can use all 10,000 of them in one shot. And similarly, in the case coming up, we'll see in the Gemara, that is a similar structure over there. Vodar Miri, the Davka Pirsha the Ribo, Shinit Bat Lasham, Avalim Pirsha, Le Atzma Levada, Asur Gezer Shemi Yikach Mina Kavua. He says number two is to tell you that only when it falls into 10,000 is it mutar, not if it's by itself. I mean, if it's just Poresh, that's not enough. Because of Gezer of Kavua, that goes back to what we discussed in yesterday's daf, Rava's statement of Kavua, and we discussed there whether that only applies to Kodashim, or is that Gezer Rava more broadly applicable. The Rabbeinu Tam, back on the first Tosafot in the Perek, that very large Tosafot, says that this din of Rava is only applicable to Kodashim. By Chulin, we would say that it's fine. They call the Parish, if it pulls away by itself, there's no problem. On the other hand, the Ri, and this is what the Shita Mikubetz is pointing out over here, says that even if it's Parish, we worry about Kavua. We worry about the Gzera of Rava, because we worry about if it falls away by itself, that you're going to pull it out of the Kavua, and that's not allowed. Therefore, you need to have an additional Safek, which is the one that pulls away. It's not enough. It has to fall into 10,000. This will affect the understanding of the next Gemara. But the Shita Mikubetz says, V'er Mikan Kash, the Psak Shor Rabbeinu Tam. This is a big problem for the Psak Shor Rabbeinu Tam, that this Gzera of Kavua doesn't apply to Chulin. If it doesn't apply to Chulin, then why, when the one fell away from the 100, the first 100, why isn't it Mutar right away? Because, called the Parish, Miruba Kaparish, the robe is had there, and it should be fine right away. Tanayehi. It is a Machloket Tanaim as to whether there is an issue with Sveik Sveika in Avodah Zarah. The Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rimonei Badan, three pomegranates of Badan, which is one of the six items that were mentioned in the Mishnah that we saw from Orla, that are so significant they're not Batel, Osrim Bekoshu. Therefore, they're Osir, if it was a Rimon of Orla, Rimon of Kilei Kerem, even the smallest amount would create Isur over here. Ketzad, give me an example. Nafala Chadmeyem Latoch Ribo. One of them fell into 10,000, Umi Ribo the Ribo, and then from that 10,000 to another 10,000, Asurim. So you see Safek, Sveik Sveika, still problematic. Mishim Ben Yehuda over here, Mishim Rabbi Shimon, the Ribo Asurim. When it fell into the first group, it was Asur. Umi Ribo, the Shlosha. But when it goes from then that 10,000 into three, Umi Shlosha le Makom Acher, Mutar. And from the three to something else, then it is Mutar. So you see over there that there is a Sveik Sveika that is Mutar, Machloket Tanaim, as to whether here the Isur, which is Orla, or Kilei Akerim, which extends even beyond the first Safek, that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda, or you have the view of Rabbi Shimon Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that after a certain amount of Sveikot, we already make it that it is Shel Heter. Gemara asks, Shmuel Damar Keman. Who does Shmuel hold like? Which of these two Tanaim? If you're claiming it's a Machloket Tanaim, that Machloket between Rav and Shmuel about Sveik Sveika is parallel to a Machloket Tanaim, exactly who does Shmuel follow? Ikir Rabbi Yehuda, if he subscribes to Rabbi Yehuda's position, Afilu Bishari Surim Oser. Rabbi Yehuda does not just say it by Avodah Zarah. He says that Isur, like this Rimonei Badan, applies to Safek, and then Sveik Sveika. Either way, it's a problem, and that's not just limited to Avodah Zarah. Shmuel limited the din to Avodah Zarah. He's saying it by all his Surim. Ikir Rabbi Shimon, if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, afilu b'ra kavim na mishari. He's not only matir by the case of the Orla, the Kilei Akerim, he's also matir by a case of a Avodah Zarah. Chitayim ha-shayni le'le Rabbi Shimon ben Avodat kavim l'shari surim. If you want to say that the brighter that we brought only mentions Rabbi Shimon's position with regards to Rimunei Badan, and that was dealing with Orla or Kilei Akerim, and maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree by Avodah Zarah that it is Asurah, like Shmuel's position. Tanya. Problem is, we need to give attribution to a brighta that we have, which is Safek Avodat Kochavim Asura. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, if it's a single Safek, it's problematic. Sveik Sveikah Muteret. If it's a double Safek, then it is Mutar. Mani, who's the author of that position? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, but lo Rabbi Shimon. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that not only is this Sveik Sveikah problematic by Avodah Zarah, it's problematic by all Isurim. And Rabbi Shimon, according to you, now says that by Shari Isurim, Sveik Sveika is fine. But by Avodah Zarah, it is Asura. Well then, who's the author? Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon now, according to you, are saying that Avodah Zarah is Asura. The answer is, Olam Rabbi Shimon. It has to be Rabbi Shimon. When Rabbi Shimon is Matir, Sveik Sveika is Matir in all Isurim, as well as in Avodah Zarah. Shmuel, Savarlak Rabbi Yehuda, Bechado. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one sense, but he argues him on the other sense. Shmuel subscribes to the position of Rabbi Yehuda that Sveik Sveika is Asur. is that he accepts the fact that a Sfeik Sveika is Asur when it comes to Avodah Zarah. What he doesn't accept is Rav Yehuda's application of that beyond Avodah Zarah, even to other Isurim. And so Shmuel subscribes to Rav Yehuda in a more limited form. And he's following that Tana. Rav, obviously, is following the position of Rabbi Shimon, who says that a Sfeik Sveika by other Isurim, and even by Avodah Zarah, is not problematic, is mutar. So now the Gemara wants to understand that statement of Rabbi Shimon in the Braita. Amamar, miribo lishloshan. The way that it worked was that if it falls into 10,000, those 10,000 are Isurim. Then miribo lishloshan, from those 10,000 to the next three, umishloshan lemakom acher, and then from those three to somewhere else, mutar. Then it becomes mutar. The question here is, how many movements do you need? If you just look at the simple pshat over here, miribo lishlosha, from the first 10,000 which had the Isur embedded in it, to three, and then those shlosha fell into something else. Then it is mutar. So the way Rashi explains that of this is, ribo arishon, shayitzer natzmo nafal sham asur. First 10,000 for sure asurim, because the Avodah Zarah ring or coast fell into that, and that is problematic. Whatever the Isur is that fell into it, that's clearly problematic because you have this safek in that item itself. And given that the item is chashuv, because it's rimonei badan, or in the case of Avodah Zarah, because it's user bekoshu, over there that will cause a problem for that first mixture. Aval perish echad mioto ribu legimo rimonim. If one pulled away from that pact and then fell into three pomegranates, so that's what it means ribu l'shlosha. Not the whole 10,000 fell into three, but rather one of those 10,000 fell into three. Umein ashlosha perish echad mehem, and then from those three, one fell out, lemakom acher, to somewhere else, mutar af hagimo haemtzaim. Rashi says, even the middle three are mutarim, the sveik, sveika, batil. Because when it comes to sveik, sveika, it is batel. So according to Rashi over here, there are actually three stages that take place. There's a stage in which the ring, or the, here the rimon, the pomegranate of Isur, falls into a group of 10,000. There, the entire group is Asur, single safek, Isur that is Chashuv, so it's not Batel. So now you have a problem that exists for that entire grouping. From that grouping, one went away and fell into the next grouping of three. That grouping of three remains Asurim, because, just like we saw before, that when you have the Isur that moves from the first one into the second one, that's not enough to take care of it. What you need now is one of those three to pull away. Now, when one of those three pull away from there, it's really one of four now, that pulls away, two things happen. The one that falls away from that three or four now is mutar. Not only is it mutar, the ones that stay behind are mutarim. Because we assume two things. We assume, number one, the one that fell away was the Isur, so the remainder that stay behind are Mutarim, and vice versa. The one that fell away, we're going to say is Mutar, because we assume the Isur remained with the rove. So that makes it into a Sfeik Sveika for that grouping of three that remain behind. And therefore, both the one that fell away, as well as the three Emtzaim, as Rashi calls them, are Mutarim once one falls away from them. The Baal Tosfot disagree with this view of Rashi, and say the following. Based on that Tosfot that we saw before, Perish Shachaman the Rebo, Miribo the Rebo, by Tosfot, we saw this in the Shita Mikubetzet, who said that this argues on Rashi's position. He says over here, Chain, in the case of Miribo the Gimel, Umi Gimel the Gimel, Mutar, Aval Asur Le'anot Mi Gimel Rishonim Bevat Achat, you cannot get Hanah from the first three in one shot, Umi Nashni'im Shari, and the second group of three is, Mihai Taima the Parashti, for the same reason I explained before, Ubekunches lo perish kain. It says clearly, Rashi did not say that. The Baal Tosafot say here that already the second grouping of three is mutar, as long as you don't use them all at once. So now what you have here is one falls into 10,000. 10,000 are all safek yisur. You can't do anything with them. One of those 10,000 falls way into a group of three. That group of three or that group of four are already mutar. That's what you possibly wanted, because now you already got your second safek. You are mutar. The only restriction the Tosafot has over here is that those three or four, you can't use them all at once. You can use them one by one, you can't use them all at once, bevat achat. If that falls away from that three into another group of three, then that next group can be used even bevat achat. Because then you brought another layer of safek, and at that point you can use it bevat achat. So he's more makil than Rashi. Rashi requires, for order for you to use the first group of three, one of them has to fall away before you can use that three that were there. According to Balei Tosafot, once it falls into that new group of three, you can use them already. They're all mutarim as long as you don't do it bevat achat. Rashi requires it that you have at least one falls away, and then the remaining three will be mutarim. The Rambam is even more machmir, that when one falls into the 10,000 asurim, if the one from that 10,000 then falls into three asurim, the one that falls away from the three, that's mutar. But the three that remain behind are still asurim. The Rambam used a mixture that has the one that fell into the 10,000 as being as if it is isur vadai. So we know for sure the isur is in there. Never we treat the entire mixture as if it is isur vadai, and the safek only starts once you move from that 10,000 into the first three, and that's your first safek, and then you need to move to a second three in order for it to be a safek sveka. So those are three different ways to read what the Gemara is saying over here. And the Gemara wants to know, Maishna shlosha de'ika ruba, shnaim innaim idami ika ruba. Now, I understand why you gave the example of 10,000 in the first grouping. That's because you wanted a very large number. And you wanted to say, despite the fact that it's 1 into 10,000, there's still all asurim. So I understand why you used the example of 10,000. Why, when one broke away from that group 10,001, do you say it fell into 3? Why can't it just fall into 2? All you're looking for over here is a rove. If you have 2 of heter and 1 of isur, you have a rove. Why do you need 3 instead of 2? Maishna shlosha deika ruba, shnaim imika ruba, my gimel diktoni, tarte behu. My answer is, you're right, three that we're mentioning here was not three besides the isur, it's three including the isur, and therefore exactly that. You have two in the next group that are the rove of heter versus the one of isur. Bibai deima, someone suggests, sabrala ki Rabbi Eliezer. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Rashi brings two ways to read this Gemara as to what the Ibayitema is going on. Because the Gemara jumps into an Ibayitema, the simplest way to read it is that the Ibayitema is referencing to what we just said over here, which is that you just told me that why do you need three over here? You could have done it with two. The answer of the Gemara was, Enochanami, it was two, because the three meant two plus the Isur itself. That's one way to answer it. The next way to answer it is, Savralaki Rabbi Eliezer, that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that's going on Rabbi Shimon. That is the second explanation Rashi brings. It's also the way that the Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosafot, favors explaining the Gemara, which is, L'shna Akrina, Savra Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Kai, Damar Meribo the Gimel. And then the explanation now is that he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Remember Rabbi Eliezer coming up in the Mishnah that says that when you have one of the heads that end up in his back, for the remaining heads you have to do two at a time. So that'll be the explanation over here as well. The one that broke away from the 10,001 and then fell into three, the reason we want there to be a total of four there is now because then you can utilize them two at a time. And that's what it means. Why you need three to have a sum total of four is because he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer requires that when you use it, even after there's a sfeik sfeika in a sense, there's a double level of sfeik over here, nevertheless, we require that you do it two at a time. So similarly over here, you have to use these two rimonim in one shot, because migo that you have heter, we'll assume the other one is of heter. And so there's why he needed four, I mean three, plus the one that fell into it, and not two plus the one that fell into it. So that's one way to read this ibayitim over here. But Rashi does not like that explanation. And he says, Arishon yasher be'inai, the first explanation I'm going to give to this Gemara is the one that I favor. And that is, Shmuel, damar, sfeik sfeika, davarat kochavim asur. We were looking for a Tana that supports that position of Shmuel, that Sveik Sveika and Avodah Zarah Zasura. We said that he was subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, even though that's not exactly what Rabbi Yehuda said. Rabbi Yehuda said Sveik Sveika is problematic everywhere, not just in Avodah Zarah. Nevertheless, Shmuel will subscribe to his position for Avodah Zarah. Ibai Deima is another way to answer the question and say that Shmuel, Damar to Rabbi Eliezer. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer, not the Rabbi Eliezer of the Mishnah later on in Zvachim. Rather, the Rebbe Eliezer of Avodah Zarah, which is in the case when you have an Eitz Asherah, which is Avodah Zarah, and then from the branches of that tree, they fall into an oven. That oven, which was heated up by these Atzei Asherah, is Asur B'Hana'ah. So if it's a brand new oven, and that's how they fired it up for the first time, which means that's what finished off the clay, Then yutatz, you have to break it because there's no way to get that out of it. It was the sealant. It was the final stage of the processing of the oven, and therefore it's completely asur because that flavor, the atzei shirah, are permanently a part of it. If it is a older oven, where it's already done all the absorption it can do, then if it's heated by age, you have to wait for it to cool down. Once it cools down, you're not getting the benefit from those etzim anymore. Then you can utilize it without any problem. If in the interim, while those atzei hashira were in there, you baked a pot, you baked bread while the atzei hashira were in there, that pot is a surah b'hana'ah because it was baked by atzei hashira, and clearly it's getting benefit from the atzei hashira, and that's why it is a surah. Nitar v'abe acherot, if that pot got mixed up with other loaves of bread, v'acherot v'acherot, and then those loaves got mixed in with other loaves, kulan asrot b'hana'ah. All of them are considered to be asurim b'hana'ah, in that the isra hana'ah extends beyond this. Rabbi Yezer omer, yolich hana'ah v'yam ha'melech. You have to take the value of the hana'ah that's in that bread, and then you throw that value into yam ha'melech, basically pidyon, you're redeeming the isur of atzei hashira v'avodah zarah, and then you're dumping it at yam ha'melech to be matirit. Alma, itle the Rabbi Eliezer, svek sveka bodak kochavim. Obviously, Rabbi Eliezer holds of svek svek, then avodah zarah, mediktani v'acherot v'acherot. That it says in that Mishnah, and the truth is, he could be subscribing to the Tanakam of the Mishnah, just that we know that Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to the Mishnah, because he says you can redeem the avodah zarah. But the fact that he says you can redeem the zarah means without it, it would be asur. And without it, the Mishnah said that not only is the bread problematic, but the bread getting mixed in something else is problematic. When that gets mixed into others, still others, that's still asurah. So you see, svek sveka, according to him, is asurah by pot that was baked with the atzei hashira. And that'll be the source for Shmuel's position. So that's how Rashi reads this ibayatema in the Gemara, and he favors that view. Again, the second view in Rashi, which is the one we brought first, is the view that the Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Tosafot favor. Amar Yesh Lakish, chavit shel truma, shenit arva b'mea chaviot. If you have a barrel, a flask, a cask of wine that was truma, that fell into another 100 barrels of wine, v'nafla achat mehem liyam ha'melach. And then one of those barrels fell into the Dead Sea. Hu tru kulan. All of them are mutarim, daminen, hach de nafal, isura nafal. The one that fell out was the isur. Very similar to Rab Nachman's statement on the previous amud, which was that when you had the one ring of Avodah Zarah that fell into the 100 rings of Heter, and then one of them fell into the Yama Gadol, we assume the one that fell into the Yama Gadol was the isur, and all the remaining ones are mutarim. So Reish Lakish is saying the same thing here with regards to Truma. That if you have a barrel of truma that got mixed up with other wine that was not truma, not batel. But, even though it's not batel, if one of those barrels falls into Yam HaMelech, then I say whichever one that fell in was probably the Isur, and the remaining 100 are Mutarim. So your question is addressed by the Shita Mikubetzet, which is, even though by many things we see in the Masechet Avodah Zarah, Yam HaMelech is sufficient to get rid of it, but based on what the Baal Tosafot said before, the only way to get rid of it in a way that is considered to be gam the gamre is when it goes into Yam HaGadol. Shita Mikubetzet says over here as well, here so should be Yam HaGadol and not Yam HaMelech. So that's not necessarily a distinction between them. V'itztrich the Rav Nachman, v'itztrich Reish Lakish. We need Rav Nachman's statement before about the rings of Avodah Zarah, and we need Reish Lakish's statement over here about the barrels of Truma. Dimi Rav Nachman, had only had Rav Nachman, havamina ani milei avodat kochavim, the reason that by Avodah Zarah I allow the one that fell out to be matir the rest is because otherwise there's no way to get around this. There's no way to solve the problem. Avodah Zarah, this doesn't go away. And it's problematic even with Isur Koshul. So therefore I'll be makil over there because we're dealing only with Isurim Dirabanan. I'll be makil for us to make the assumption that the Isur fell away from the group and the rest is mutar because there's no other solution. About Shuma, the Ishla Matirim, and then Truma, that if you're shoel on the neder, meaning the fact that you made this into Truma, you could unwind it, or the Yishlo Matirim is the fact that the Kohanim can drink such wine, so even though you can't drink it, Kohanim can drink it, so there is a solution to the problem, even though it won't be the most profitable solution to the problem, but there is a solution. Lo, that's not the case. Maybe there we would say that you do not say that the one that fell in is the Easter that fell in. V'idin Eish Lakish, had we only had the din of Eish Lakish by Truma, Havamina Chavit Mintkara Nefilata. The reason that when the barrel falls into Yamagadol, it solves your problem, is because it's so visible and so obvious. Nobody's going to make a mistake now to say that if one of them fell in, it's Batal 100-1, and we're Matir because of the Bittal, they'll know because a barrel fell into Yamagadol, that's why we were Matir over here, and that'd be obvious to them, visible to them. About Tabat, lo minkara nifilata, but at Tabat, if one of them falls into Yamagadol, nobody on the outside's may have noticed or see the difference between 101 and 100, they don't know that one fell in, and they're going to assume that the Chachamim were just Matir because the Isser was Batel to the Heter. And that's not true. So lo, I would have said no over there. Tzriche, that's why I need both Rav Nachman and Reish Lakish's statements. Amar Rabba, lo yitir Reish Lakish, elechavit de minkara nefilata. Now based on that Tzrichuta, Rabba says that Reish Lakish was only Matir this din, when you're talking about a barrel falling into the Yamagadol, where it's visible and noticeable. About Te'ina, lo. But when it comes to a fig, I would not say that. A fig is not significant enough in order for us to say that if it falls out of the group, that it will be noticeable and people won't make the mistake to think that the reason we're allowing you to eat this is because it was Batel and not really because something fell into Yamagadol. And you can see here in the Shita Mekubetzet Ot Zayin that he says that the Teina fell into Pachot Mimeya. Fell into less than 100. If it was 100-1, it would be Batel as Ruma because it's not Chashuv. As opposed to the Chaviot, Stumot, which are Chashuvim, even in 100-1, they're not Batel. But a Teina that doesn't have that status of Chashivot, if it was 100-1, it would be Batel. And therefore, he says the case here has to be a case where there's one Teina of Truma to less than 100 Teinim of Chulin. Yosef Amar, afilu Teina, ketfilata, kakaliyata. Just like when a single fig falls in, it can make the whole group asur. So there, when a single fig falls out, it can make the whole group into heter. And therefore, Rav Yosef does not have this qualification. It says, even if it's a fig that fell out of the grouping, we would still classify it as being heter, because we assume the Isser fell away. Amar Rav Elazar, Chavit Shel Truma, Shenafla B'kuyuf Chaviot, if you have a barrel, cask of wine, that are stumot, that are sealed, and that fell into 100 other barrels. Technically, you have 100-1 over here, so it should be Batel normally with Truma, because Truma only requires 100-1. From here is you're dealing with chaviot, stumot, barrels that are sealed, which is one of the items that are considered to be chashuvim, and therefore it's not batel. But now what does he do? According to this version of it, poteach echad mehem, he opens up one of the barrels, v'notel hemenu kedei dimua, and he removes from it the amount that is the mixture of the truma, v'shoteh, and then you could drink the remainder, meaning that you take out 1/100th, which is the amount of truma that is mixed in over here, because you have 100 of heter and 1 of truma. So you take out that 1/100th from this barrel, and the remainder you can drink, you can utilize. Yotiv Rav Dimi, Mekamer Lo LaHashmaitata. So Rav Dimi was saying over this member of Rabbi Elazar. So it's Rav Dimi brought this from Eretz Yisrael from Rabbi Elazar, telling over to Rav Nachman in Bavel. Amalei Rav Nachman, Rav says to them, Gama Vishate Kachazina Hacha. Gamoa Vishati Kachazina Hacha. I'm seeing here, quaffing and drinking, gulping and drinking, which is, you're going too far. Because if we allow him to open up a barrel that is sealed, and that can get rid of the Isur and allow it to be Batel, then how do you ever have a manifestation in a case where the Chachamim say that Chaviot Stumot are so Chashuv that they're not Batel? You're telling me now that you can solve the problem by opening up one of them. So then if that's the case, you'll never have a problem of Chaviot Stumot not being Batel. Ella, Ema, you have to amend Rabbi Elazar to say the following. Niftecha achat mehem. If one of them happened to be opened up, not that you opened it up, but it was opened, whether that means that it popped open, whether someone else popped open, opened it up without knowing, notele menu kidei dimua, you take out the amount that is shayach here, that's 1/100th, vishote, and then you can drink it. Because once the barrel is opened, it loses its chashivut, and therefore it's batel, technically, with the truma at 100-1. We view it as if each barrel that is open then becomes insignificant and batel. We still require that you remove 1/100th of the portion that is truma of the mixture. So what's interesting over here is that we know that the truma is in a single barrel. But now what we're allowing you to do is if one of them, either in the first version was opened by you, or in the second version it happened to open or was open, Then you could take out the dimua from it. You take out the 1/100th. That's the amount of truma that is embedded in this group. But even despite the fact that there is one barrel that has all the truma in it, and that truma never got mixed with any of the other barrels, we still view it as if it got mixed in. And then if you take off 1/100th, it's the equivalent of removing the isur that was there. And once the isur is gone, you can drink that which remains. So the reason to take off the dimua is in actuality not because that helps you in terms of the bittul, because the bittul works at 100 to 1, it's batel in terms of the isur of truma that's gone. The problem is that you have mamon kohanim, the mamon shel the kohanim there. I mean, the truma belongs to the kohen, and just because it's batel doesn't mean that the mamon of the kohen disappeared. So the obligation to give 1/100th from each of the barrels is to fulfill your obligation to return or give that truma to the kohanim. So that's why we take off 1/100th from each barrel, even though the barrel of truma is completely separate from the other barrels, but it's batel. Once they've been opened up, it's batel. And once that is batel, then there's no issue of Easter, there's only issue of a monetary obligation that you have to the kohen that you need to fulfill. And that you can do by taking 1/100th off of each barrel. So Amar Moshaya, chavit shel truma. You have a barrel of truma, shenit arva b'meah b'chamishim chaviot, which makes them in 150 other barrels, v'niftachu me'a mehen, and 100 of them were opened, notel he'menu k'dei dimua b'shoteh. You take off the amount of the percentage of truma that's here, which is 1/150th of it, because there are 150 barrels, then you have one of truma there, so it's 1 to 150, which is about 2/3% that you would take out, but Shar Asurim. The remaining 50 are Asurim. Achi Patru. Until they are opened. Even though now the rove of the barrels were opened. 100 of them are already opened. So why wouldn't we assume that the Isura is with the rove? If the Isura is with the rove already, then that would allow you to open up the other 50 barrels, assuming that they are Heter. We don't allow for that. And he says here that the remaining 50 barrels are not automatically Heter until they're open, like the other cases where each one of them, when they were open, if you took off the amount of dimua, then that barrel was considered to be mutar. And the reason being, lo amrina nisura beruba ita. We don't assume that the Easter went to the rove. So on the surface, it looks like Rav Hoshaya is arguing on that view of Rav. Rav said that when you have the 60-40 split between the rings, that we assume that the Easter went with the 60, and we do assume that the Isura goes to the rove. Supposed over here where we don't say that. But the truth is you could differentiate between the cases. Because even Rav, who says that we do think it goes better the rove, that's only when you had two tarot vote. That's only when the 40 separated from the 60 and then something fell away from the 40 into another tarovit. He doesn't say just because the 40 split away from the 60 that automatically we assume it's in the rove. And the case over here is more similar to that case of the split of the 60-40 rather than the 40 and then something falling away from the 40. Haroveya v'arnirba. Now we've finally gotten on to the next piece of the Mishnah, which is if you have things that are psulim la kodesh, like roveya nirba, which are not a surim la hajo, but they are surim to hekdesh, because they are ma'us, if they got mixed up with other kodoshim, we said over there, yiru achi stavu, they all have to graze until they get mumim in them, and then from the highest priced animal there, you will take money and bring the korbanot that you have to bring. Bishlama kulu lo yediyah. All of the cases there are intangible items. Roveya nirba, an animal that had bestiality performed with it, nothing you can discern about the animal that will tell you that it is a roveya or a nirba. You can't tell that from the animal. And that same is true for many of the psulim that are mentioned in the Mishnah, like Hilayim, Muksa, Nevad, Etnan, Mechir Kelev. All of these are items that may be true of the animal, but it's not necessarily visible on the animal. There's no way to know that those items exist. None of those issues there can be visible, and therefore if they got mixed up, we can deal with it. With the exception of one of the examples that was brought there, which is Elahai Treifa Hechidami. The Treifa that it says got mixed up with the Kodoshim, how did that Treifa get mixed up with the Kodoshim? If you know that it is a Treifa, because you could see that it's a Treifa, Late David Lishkale. Then go take the Easter out, and then everything else will be fine. Iloya DLA, if he doesn't know which one is the Treifa, because it wasn't visible externally, Minoyodo Diarit. Then how does he know that it ever got mixed in there in the first place? Because if it's not a visible trepha, then how do you know that the animal that got in there was actually a trepha? By the other Isurim, you know that they existed, and they got mixed up. But now it can't be identified. By the trepha, how do you know the animal is a trepha? Either you know it's a trepha, because it's visibly a trepha. If that's the case, then when it gets mixed in with the group, you should be able to go pick it out and take it out, because it visibly was a trepha. On the other hand, if it was not visibly a trepha, then how do you have any clue that this animal is a trepha? Now, by rovea nearby, you can get the information from witnesses. You can get the information other ways. But by a trepha, there's only one way to know it's a trepha. That's to see the animal, or internally in the animal, to know whether it is a trepha. So then, if it's unidentifiable, how do you even know that there's a trepha mixed in here? Because you don't even know that animal is a trepha. Why are you so certain it's a trepha if it's not visible? So I'm ready to be Rabbi Yana Yachamaya Skinan Kagom Di Yarev Nekuvat Kotz Bitrusat Azev. Case where the animal was punctured by a thorn, so it has a hole in it, but it didn't penetrate into the cavity of the animal, so it doesn't make it into a trepha. In addition, you have other animals there that are Drusat Zev, were attacked by wolves, and their claws went into the animal, and Chazal believed that the claws had some sort of eris or poison associated with them, and that's what causes the animal to be a trepha. So what he's suggesting over here is you have a number of animals that are injured or have sustained injuries, and when you look at them, you can tell that they're all injured, but you can't tell which injury. You can't tell whether it's in a kukvat coats, a needle prick or a thorn prick, where it would not be problematic, it would not be a trepha, versus a Drusat Zev, which would be problematic because it would be deemed a trepha, because again, not the power of the scratch, but the scratch has the means that the claw or the nails of the wolf went in there, and therefore they caused the poison to be deposited there, makes it into a trepha. Mishlokesh Amar, Gondi Arev Benefula, the case where they got mixed up with an animal that fell from a roof, or it fell a large distance, and had a hard impact on its body. So the case in Nefula where he knows it fell, but he doesn't know whether it is or isn't a trepha because a type of impact like that could cause it to be a trepha. Where it says, Nefula nami liptika. By a Nefula, just check it. Just check it out to see if it's fine. I mean, if the animal walks of its own volition, then that's already an indication that it's not a trepha. So Kasavar, he holds, even amdo, if it stands up by itself, tzricha meitleit, it needs 24 hours of waiting time before we assume that it's not a trepha. That's plus a bedika. He believes that even if the animal stands up after the fall, that's not an indication that it's healthy and not a trepha until it lives another 24 hours. Halcha, if it walks, then you don't need to wait meitleit, but tzricha bedika, you still need to check it. It's not enough standing up or walking in order for you to assume 100% that it's not a trepha. So that, according to that, there's no way to know that the animal was okay. This nifula, when it got mixed in, it hadn't had the check be done to it. And now that it's mixed in the crowd, we don't know if it's healthy or it's not healthy at this point. And even though, as Rashi points out over here, this nifula is not vadai trefa, it is a safek trefa, because there are means for testing it and figuring out whether it is or isn't. And even Rish Lakish would agree, if you pass the test, it's not a trefa. Nevertheless, Rashi says over here, Gavin di tichazik ba safek trefot, ein machnizin oto la'azara l'shokta. You're not allowed to bring it into the Azara, even though it's only a safek trefa, because it's inappropriate to bring your junk into the Mikdash, meaning that those things that are not appropriate or not appealing, you should not be bringing them into the Mikdash before Hashem, as if you're going to shech them or bring them as a korban. They just don't belong there at all. Or the way that the Shidi Mikubetzit phrases it in Od Yud Bet, umisafek lo mailinen chulin b'azara. Misafek, we don't bring in chulin b'azara, because there's a possibility here that you can't be makdish, such an animal, you can't bring it as a korban. And now you're bringing in chulin b'azara. Rabbi Yiriyah Amar Kagon Tiarei B'Vlad Trefa. It's a case where it's an offspring of a trefa. It's authored by Rabbi Eliezer. The Amar says, V'Vlad Trefa lo yikrav. Gabei Mizbeach. Now be placed in the Mizbeach. It's authored by Rabbi Eliezer, who says, Uber Yerechimo. The child is in it, the fetus is an extension of the mother. And if the mother is a trefa, it deems the child to be a trefa, even though the child itself is not a trefa. But in that way, you can know ahead of time, but it's not discernible. Because this type of trefa is a trefa only in name, not a trefa in substance, because the animal was never a trefa, it was that its mother was a trefa. And the truth is that Rabbi Eliezer's restriction here is only the Gabei Mizbeach, which is that it's Hakriveu Nala Pechatcha, not that this animal really is a trefa or deemed to be a trefa. So that means in chulin, or a lay person could shech the animal and eat the basar and not assume it's a treifa. It's a living being. It's a living animal. You can't call it a treifa. It's only a treifa from the sense that it was born to a treifa. And if you wear the erechimo, it assigns it that same soul of treifa, the gabe, the mizbeach, that it's inappropriate to bring it up to the mikdash. And you can see that sentiment in Tosafot, who mentions that even according to the one who says that a vlad of a victim of bestiality, even though they are a serim, they don't think of vlad treifa as a surah, because the uber yesh lo chiyut bifnei atzmo, veinu nitra pimaim. It's a totally separate entity. It lives on its own. It sustains itself on its own. It can't be classified as a treifa just because it's born to a treifa. Now, kulu, Rabbi Yanai lo amre, the other attempts at answering this question do not accept Rabbi Yanai's position. Ben nekubat kos, the drusat zeib, midi yadia. It's very easy to discern between a puncture from a needle or from a thorn versus an attack or a scratch by a wolf. Hai moshich, vayagio. When it comes to a scratch or the paw of the wolf that scratched, it is a elongated scratch that you would see. Versus a puncture by a thorn or a needle would be, a gill would be circular. So they're easy to discern. They don't think that's a good enough reason to say that this mixture is problematic. Kiresh Lakish lo amre, they don't subscribe to Resh Lakish's suggestion, which is that it was a nifula. Kasavra, they hold amda in its richame leit. They hold that if it stands up, you don't need imeid leit, but it still does need a bedika. But halcha, if it walked, and it's richa bedika, doesn't need a bedika at all. So if it walks, it doesn't require a bedika, then you have a way to know whether it's a treifa or not. You could test to see if it walked. And if he walks, you know it's not a treifa. You would have known before the animal got mixed in over here whether it was or wasn't a treifa. Because as soon as it walks, it's not a treifa. And that's why they don't subscribe to Reish Lakish's explanation. Rabbi Yirmiyahu lo amre, and they don't subscribe to Rabbi Yirmiyahu's explanation over here that it's being made of la treifa going to Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer lo mukmeh, they don't want to set up the case of our Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer, first of all, is a dat yachid, and on top of that, as we noted already previously on the daf, that Rabbi Eliezer shmutiyu, and we don't paskin like him. So the Amoraim would avoid setting the Mishnah up like Rabbi Eliezer for that reason. That's why the other opinions here reject the view of Rabbi Yirmiyah and bring their own reason as to how we have a treifa that's mixed in over here. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Ayin Dalet Amud Bet.